Continue 7 lines down from the top on Mem Aleph, Omer Aleph. The Mishnah at the beginning of the Perek on Mem Omer Beis is discussing the laws of different images of that were made by idolaters for the purpose of Avodah Zarah and not for the purpose of Avodah Zarah necessarily. Rabbi Meir had an opinion that is Choshesh Lemiut, so even if it's used as Avodah Zarah in one town, but not necessarily in another town, used as Avodah Zarah, it's just used Lenoi to beautify the area, we would still be concerned for Avodah Zarah, and then not for the practical application would be that you cannot derive any benefit from it. However, the Chachamim were more lenient. The Chachamim said, no, the only time an item is prohibited from getting benefit from because of Avodah Zarah is if it has been used as an object of idolatry. If not, then you can get benefit from it. And he said that you know for a fact that something is an object of Avodah Zarah if it has in its hands a makal, a tzipor, or a kadur. In the hand of the idol, there is a staff, a bird, or a globe. So now the Gemara asks, or the Gemara explains, v'chachamim omrim einam asurim, makal, what's the reason why a makal would be prohibited? What's the implication? Sherodes atzmo tachas kol olam kulo kemakal. He rules over the whole world like holding a staff. The staff shows is a symbol of authority, and the staff in his hand shows that he's ruling over the world, which again it would be an object of idolatry. Tzipor, what's the significance of a bird? Shetobes atzmo tachas kol haolam kulo katzipor, that he grabs himself under the whole world like a bird, not literally under the whole world, because that's just being a little sarcastic, but he's holding the world, right? The bird, you know, grabs onto everyone with his claws, so you have dominion over everyone else like a bird. And finally, or you could say, maybe you could understand that he's holding the bird in his hand, and the world is an extension of the bird. Different ways to understand it. Kadur, the globe in his hand, shetobes etz atzmo, tachas kol olam kulo kagadur. It's like he grabs himself, or he's holding the whole world in the palm of his hand. And therefore, you see that's an object of idolatry. So those are the three that the Chachamim listed. Tana, we have a brisa that extends this. Hosifu alehen sayef atara v'tabas. That the rabbis expanded the prohibition of items in their hand to include in the hand of an idol to include a knife, a crown, and a ring. What's the significance of these three? Or why was this a later addition? Why wasn't this listed initially in the Mishnah? So the Gemara says as follows. Sayef, when it comes to the knife, meikara savra listin ba'alma, initially they thought if the idol is holding a knife in his hand, oh, it's just a sign of some sort of warrior or a bandit, so it's not necessarily an object for idolatry. Ulvasov savra, but ultimately they came to the realization, shehorig is atzmo tachas kol olam kulo, by holding the sword in his hand, he's showing that he's killing the whole world, he has control over everyone. And therefore it was an object of Avodah Zarah. Atara, how about the crown? Meikara savar gidil klile ba'alma. Just, you know, a little crown that was nothing significant. Lusof savar ka'atar lamelch. No, it's the crown for the king. And therefore he's coronating himself as, again, an object of idolatry. Tabas, what about a ring? Meikara savar ishtamaya ba'alma. Initially, they just thought, as Rashi says, shliach hanosei chosam ha'mishalcho. It's just a... someone who is, he's just a shliach. The person in the image of the idol is just a messenger who's bringing the seal of the king around town. However, ulbasof savar shechosim es atzmo tachas kol om kul misenat. At the end, what they understood or they perceived was that when the idol is holding this ring, which has, again, a signet, so you can, they understood it to mean that he's signing everyone to death. He has that power, which again would be a form of idolatry. So that's the Chachamim's opinion. Certain items in the hand of an idol would be considered avodah zarah, and you cannot get benefit from it. Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel in our Mishnah had a different opinion. He said anything in the hand of an idol would render it prohibited for benefit, or prohibited from benefit. So now the Gemara asks a very Tana, afilu tsror, afilu kesem. Even if there's a pebble or just a little wood chip in his hand, that's a problem. It's avodah zarah because it's in his hands. So now comes the very important question. Boy, Rav Ashi, tafas biyado tsoa mahu. Let's say the idol is holding an image of excrement. Mi amrinan kuli alma zilu ba'ape kitsoa. O dilma, hu miu de zil ba'ape kuli alma kitsoa. Is it that he is embarrassing himself? He is viewed as excrement in front of everyone else, so he's meaningless, not an object of idolatry? Or no, the whole world he views as excrement, meaning he has so much control over everyone. That is the question. What would Rabbi Gamliel say about this? The Gemara did not have the ability to ask him. He wasn't alive anymore, and therefore the Gemara says, Teku, that's a question that will remain unanswered. But that, nevertheless, is the machlokas, the three-way machlokas between Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim and Rabbi Gamliel quoted in our Mishnah. When do we prohibit these idols from receiving any benefit? Is it before it has already become an object of idolatry? Is it something which we know is idolatrous because of what's in its hand? Or no matter what's in their hand, it's automatically considered an object of idolatry?